Okay, ready to go. Let's introduce. No, it's a voice note.
Oh, voice note.
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London. Wednesday, 12th of Nisan, 13th of April. Rabbi Benji Morgan, Shlita, Pesach, how free are we? This week's Torah way has been sponsored by family Berkovitz. Lidnishmas Rav Avram Dov and Rav Moshe Dovid Zichron Livracha, the late Diane Beryl Berkovitz Zichron Livracha. I didn't know it was here.
Huh?
I didn't know it was here.
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate making the effort to Erev Pesach. To come in a busy time. When I was asked to share a few words this morning, they said this is a time of year where people kind of like to have what they call a take home. You know, it's something that you can take back with you. So I was trying to think of maybe a whole shtickle Torah and Haseva that you could share at the table, or Machlekes on Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, the difference between that and the rest of the year. But then I thought, you know what, maybe we should just look at a kind of overall, many different parts. You hear lots of different Divrei Torah on Pesach. You hear lots of different nice ideas. Maybe we can try and come up with a sugya, kind of look at something that seems like five or six different ideas, but see how they actually come together and hopefully come out with something which will help guide us a pathway through the Pesach experience. So in order to start with that, I just wanted to share with you five seemingly different questions, but I think hopefully we'll see how they come together as one united idea. First mitzvah that the Yidden are at least given in the Torah is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, mitzvah of this month. But HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, first of all, many different pshatim, but why is it that this is the first mitzvah? In fact, when I teach in JLE and we teach about Rosh Chodesh, many people don't even know about the mitzvah. And if you ask many Yidden today, you know, what's the day of the month? Okay, this month we probably know because you know a few days for your Pesach. But people often, even especially in Chutz Laaretz, are not living with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, living by commandments. And you see, for example, the Yevonim, they understood that this was a very, very much a yesoi, the tenet of Yiddishkeit, because they were vatal Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos Pesach, we understand. They were vatal Rosh Chodesh. We understand Rosh Chodesh is somehow, and it's lochem. It's the mitzvah which is given lochem. What is the significance of that? Second of all, we know that the cornerstone of our emunah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Everything is in the Torah comes back from Kiddush on Friday night, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We keep on always coming back to the Yesoidus of Amunah. We understand, you ask someone, what is the Chag, what is the Yom Tov Pesach? It's the Yesoid of Amunah. But what is the difference between the mitzvah that we have the whole year of Zechiras, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and what we seem to have on Seder night of Hareis and Meshubach, Chalarab, Mayra Hareis and Meshubach, Kalamar Vadasap Hareis and Meshubach, and in general, the experience that we go through the Seder night seems so different. In the Chaznish speaks about, this is going Be'inyan Le'inyan, the Chaznish speaks about the difference between Emunah, everyone knows, the difference between Emunah, Bitochen, what it means to be Ne'emon, what it means to have yediyah, to have knowledge, and what it means ne'emon, to be faithful to that. But in what way are every one of the mitzvahs hayoyim, from the bedikas chametz all the way through to the end of Pesach, in what way do we go through that experience? But it goes a bit deeper, because when we say kol hamar b'lesaper hareizim meshubach, it's an unusual mitzvah of the Leil Seder, kol hamar b'lesaper hareizim meshubach. We don't say when it comes to netiyas lulav, if you can do an extra shake, I mean, some people you go around, they will, but they're still, even the people which are looking for your esrog and they come to ask you if they can shake, it's not because of a din of kalamar, but the reason why people ask if they can shake esrog is they're worried maybe their esrog is not kosher. But here we have a mitzvah of kalamar, but that means you're mekayim the mitzvah, you know. Now keep on shaking that lulav. What is that? Why punk by Yetzias Mitzrayim, by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, do we have this din of kalamar? And even more interestingly, we say, Afilu kulonu chachomim, then mitzvah leinu lesaper. Even if we would all be chachomim. Now, what's the havamina? Why would you think that if you... Which other mitzvah in the Torah do we say, okay, look, if you're Chaim Kanievsky, you know, that you don't... Which other mitzvah do we have that? That filu kulonu chachomim? Of course you're a chachom. If you're a chachom, you lead by example. Why would it be that if you're a chachom, you would think not? And finally, in the first encounter that Moshe Rabbeinu has with Paroi in terms of his request for the Yidden to go, then it kind of backfires. He goes and asks him, Shalach esami, you should let me. Paroi's response is, he had the parasha of Shemois. Not only he says, Mi Hashem Asha Eshma B'Koyloi. First of all, he says, why should I even listen to him? And then as he goes on, it says not only that they're going to start having to build their own bricks. And if you're Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, you think that the whole thing's completely backfired. You think you're in a bit of a shtoch. But Lemaisa, at the end of the parasha, it says, Be'im Hashem Moshe Atosira. Now you're going to see. What do you mean, now you're going to see? The whole thing's backfired. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there. He's been told to go into Paroi. And Hashem says to him, Atosira. So let's try and understand a little bit what's going on over here. And maybe we can come to understand what that Avodas Hayom is. It was only Hanukkah time, just before COVID, that I was asked to speak in a Christian school in Sevenoaks, which has a few Yidden in. And they asked me to come and speak about Hanukkah. It's always a little bit tricky when you speak in a Christian school about V'hi sha'omdo l'aviseinu sh'layecha bilvod omad aleinu l'chaliseinu. So you got to try and get the balance right. But afterwards, the deputy head teacher came over to me. He walked me out. There was about maybe 100 children there in the assembly. Deputy teacher called me out. He says, Tommy, is there one day in Hanukkah which is miyuchad, which is special? Didn't really have an answer. I said, no, all 8 days are... I mean, we have Zois Hanukkah, but we don't have anything which... He says, listen, I've got a degree in theology. And I've noticed that the Christianity in the church were massively hemorrhaging, were declining rapidly. And I've been trying to understand why is it that the Yidden, who are the religious Yidden he was talking about, seem to constantly keep on growing. And we are hemorrhaging. What is it? So I said, what do you think? So he said, listen, I'll tell you what I think. He says, we, the Christians, we have Christianity in our church. But that's it. It stays there. We don't have it in our home. He says, what I've studied and what I've seen is that the Yidden, he was talking about Hanukkah, you bring the candles into your home. When it comes to Pesach, we sit around the table. He says, you have something in your home. And that is maybe the Yesod. I said, it's good Einfall. Could be. Could be also because we have Emes as well. That didn't go down so well. But you should know that last year, the Church of England, they actually tweeted this as an article. Someone showed me a cutout from one of the newspapers where they tweeted that they want to introduce a new idea of on over this time where they also have a yontov, that everyone would sit and eat thinly baked crackers and dip it into rosemary water to remember the Jews going out of Israel. Yeah, this is the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Yeah, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. So this is what they think. So there was a big backlash and people said they shouldn't. What are you doing taking from the Jews? Why are you copying them? Lemaisa, they're still not cleaning for Pesach this year just yet, yeah? But it was a fascinating thing where the Goyim, when they look at us and they see what we do on the Seder night, they understand we have something. The question is, what is that something? Funnily enough, just talking about Seder night, I have to tell you this story because it's just such a fantastic story. 6 years ago, I was sitting down to the Seder night. It was the first night Seder, and first night Seder we do just the family. Second night Seder, we invite people who are generally, who don't have a place to go. So, would otherwise not have a Seder, shall we say. Yeah? So, I'm sitting first night, and my daughter, she was 11 years old at the time, 10 years old at the time, she turns to me and she says, Daddy, listen, we're sitting here saying Kol Dichvin. Yeah? First of all, you should have said it in shul. Second of all, we're sitting here now saying Kol Dichvin when you know that tonight's Seder is only the family, and actually you want tomorrow night, we can invite people. Tonight is just the family. As she finishes saying those words, there's a knock on the door. and opened the door. He says, "Hello." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a French student. I'm here for the Seder." I'm like, "What?" Anyway, he'd got the wrong night. Someone had told him that we were hosting. He'd got the wrong night, and he was here for the Seder. So this boy, Oliver, he comes. He says, "You were expecting me, right?" So as he was coming in, my wife sets us at the table. It's just us and this French student. Sets his table, takes out his iPod, puts it next to him on the table. I'm like, "Okay, we've got to tell him to take it off now." It's the only time I've ever had like an iPod, Matzah, Moro, Koshle, Yom, Shlesha, Dvar Melo. It's like, this is the thing now. So he sits at the table next to us. He joins in. He's never been to a Seder before. He joins in for the entire Seder. Didn't realize he wasn't invited and just joined in. So at the end of the Seder, I turned to my daughter. I said, "You know, this could be... Hashem was listening when we said Kol Dichvin. You got to be careful what you're davening for." The next night he came back. And this boy is living in Yerushalayim today, sitting alone in Kairo. This boy is, and he mamash loved it. Anyway, coming back to this thing, we on Seder night are going to the cornerstone of Amunah. So Matzio, Zola Gazun Zayin of Matzio Solomon, he says, "Look, we all know when it came to the Makkos, see that it's not Moshe Rabbeinu, the first three Makkos, as we know, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu who can do it. It's Aaron," says Rashi and famous Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's got a Karas HaToiv. So Emela, when it comes to Dam, Tzvardea, Kinim, he's the one who can't hit. Ask Matzio, he said, "Listen, we now live in an age," now I don't know if he gave this in this example, but I will give it. He says, "We now live in an age where there is technology that you can stand in front of a Samsung big microwave and wave your hands if you want to move the picture this way, and the picture moves on. If you want to pause, if you're watching a Torah anytime Shia on this big Samsung microwave, you go like that and it pauses. That's the technology that we have." Ask Matzio, he says, "There's many ways that Moshe Rabbeinu could have used to bring the Makkah of Dam, Tzfaradeh, and Kinim, so he can't hit the Yam, so he can't hit the Nile, so he can't hit the earth. So let him do something else. Let him wave his hands five times in the sky. Why is it that he's been told this and then we're told this Lederis?" Says Matzio, "No, because this goes to the Yisoid of what Pesach is all about, of the mitzvah Sipur Mitzrayim, and the experience of the Kol HaMarbel HaSapir is. It's not because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have found another way, or the Bereishis couldn't have found another way to give Moshe a way of bringing the Makkos. But what he was trying to do was to show that if you want to have a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shleilam, you've got to have a Karas HaToiv. That means that the mitzvah Sipas Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the mitzvah Zechira that we know. We know the Zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of what we're going through, the experience that we go through on Pesach, not only Leilat Seder, the whole Pesach is building an experiential relationship with the Rabbeinu Shleilam. And the question is, how do you do that? How do we give our children, how do we give ourselves an experiential relationship with the Rabbeinu Shleilam? Yes, we have the Yediyah. Yes, we have the Zechira. But how do we experience it? How do we feel it? How do we go through that emotion and feel that connection? And the answer is Hakaras HaToiv. When you feel that relationship with Hashem, that you realize how much He's given us, that is the game changer. When we realize that even though we've got all our sorrows, and even though we've got a war in Ukraine, and even though we've just had COVID and Brexit and all the things that the electricity and gas prices have doubled and everything's going on, the costs of making Pesach this year are extortionate. It always was extortionate, now it's gone even more. And you think about all the things and everyone's got sorrows and issues. And that's when even when we daven, we have that. We turn into the Rebbeinu Shleilam constantly with our chesroinus. We turn to the Rebbeinu Shleilam constantly with, we need this, we need that. But how do you build the relationship with Rebbeinu Shleilam? Through Hakaras HaToiv. It says Matzio that it's not because Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem couldn't have found from Moshe another way to connect. But he wanted to teach us this lesson, that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, because of Hakaras HaToiv, hit the Yar. He couldn't hit the land. Which means that this is something we will tell our children over the Deiru Deirus. That there's the Yesod of Hakaras HaToiv, as it says, the Chayv Zavolis and Shar B'china writes, it's because we've been born into all the brachas that we have, that we fail to see that relationship with the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And if you want to build a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, it's based on understanding and having that gratitude goes down to what it means to be a Yid. In fact, there was a recent study that showed that on a zebra crossing, most people do not say thank you. If you cross the road in the middle of Golders Green Road, not on a zebra crossing, and someone stops you, you say thank you. Not you, but this is the study that was done. But if you start a zebra crossing, people just walk straight across. They don't say thank you. What's the pshat? Because kom tzuchmeh, like, what do you mean? You're supposed to stop, right? The idea is not only on Bakaras HaToiv, it's not just on the things which we think we are entitled to. It's only things which we're not entitled to as well. In fact, the Chizkuni, famous Chizkuni, asks at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, where it said, where all the Shivim Bereishis are done, Vayitzar Hashem Elikim es Adam, Ofer Men Adam, V'yipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, V'yodol Renefesh Chaya. So now man has been created, Vayitzar Hashem Elikim Gan Be'edem Mikedem. Afterwards, he puts him in Gan Eden. Gan Eden's being created, because we're finished with the Shivim Bereishis. Adam's being created, so asks the Chizkuni, so why is Adam not in Gan Eden? Answers the Chizkuni, because if Adam Rishon would have been born into Gan Eden, he would never have appreciated what Gan Eden was. It was because the Rebbe Shem creates Adam Rishon and then he puts him into Gan Eden. And because of that, he has that appreciation. So Pesach is a time of revisiting, literally starting off from the beginning. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to go in with open eyes, almost like a child, to realize the things that we take for granted, and on that basis, to build our emunah. In fact, it goes to what it means to be a Yid. A Yid comes from the word Yehudi. What it means for Yid is, which is mean Hodoi, is recognition. And the reason why people don't want to recognize is because when you recognize, Hakoras HaToiv means to recognize the good. In fact, when we bring Bikurim, we say, Melamed She'eni Kofetiv, Rashi says, that why bring it? Aramid Evidavi, Melamed She'eni Kofetiv, like we say in our God, but Melamed She'eni Kofetiv is a very strange thing. What do you mean, She'eni Kofetiv? You should say, Melamed She'eni Makir Toiv. What do you mean that I'm not Kofi Toiv? So I heard once from Meir Stern, Mar Shiv Emsek, he said, no, because the pshat is, you want to be Makir Toiv, Hakoras HaToiv, what that actually means is you actually recognize the good. No one can recognize what the Rebbe does to them. But one thing I'll tell you is, Eini Kofi Toiv, at least I don't deny the good, because as soon as you don't deny it, you recognize that we owe the Rebbe something, you start building a relationship with him. So what is stopping us? I was speaking to a group of youngsters here in the Kehila, and it's very interesting, when you speak to children, there's almost much more of an innocence than the way that we are brought up. And it came up in the Q&A, they said to them, listen, it seems like what you're saying makes a lot of sense. So why is it that we find it so hard? What's stopping us? That means, Hakoras HaToiv, it's like Rabbi Chanan, the famous Rabbi Chanan, he asked the Kasha of, what is it? How can we ask from Aristotle to be, if how can we ask for a bar mitzvah boy to be a neman and to be a bal emunah if Aristotle himself couldn't? What is it that's stopping us? I think the answer comes in what Rav Dessler says. There's a famous Rav Dessler which says, what's the difference between paroi? Let's say different paroi, but we've got this. Let's say it's the same paroi, different paroi, but we've got paroi when we're first introduced to him, when he takes sorrow, and there's no issues. He's told exactly what he did wrong, and he admits straight away. And our paroi of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi. What happened? Says Rav Dessler, the difference is Negias. When you have the Negias, then it's much harder to recognize the truth. And the reality is that we have Negias. Our Yetzar doesn't want us to have that Hakaras HaToiv. He doesn't even want us to have the She'eni Kofi Toiva. Because as soon as we live with that reality, the relationship with Hashem and the decisions to do the right thing are completely turned around. In fact, from the Prinker, something unbelievable, beautiful. He says, we know that there's a difference. It says in the Pasuk in the Torah, and we know that the Apikorsim, they put Beini Necha, Beini Naim. Whereas we put it on our head, which is not Mamash Beini Necha, but we know that that's what it meant. That's our Masayra. Beini Necha, we're putting on our head. He says, what do you mean? Why are you putting on your head? He says, there's those that put their tefillin between their eyes, their emunah, is only based on what they see. If it looks good and it tastes good and it feels good and it's good for me, Beini Necha, it's what I see. He says, what it means to be a Yid is to put Beini Necha, what it means to be a Torah Yid, is it's on top of your head. It's on top of what you know. It's not exactly what you look and taste and feel. Sometimes it's hard, but it's the idea that is the cornerstone of it. But what we're learning today is that it's actually, Pesach is one step further than that. The rest of the year, we have the Zechira. We have the Yediya. On Pesach, it's the V'hashivo Yisrael L'vavecha. I heard a beautiful idea that kind of brings this out one step further. Bravron Gurvitz, Zolo Gazunt Zayin, he asked this question. He says, at the end of the Seder, we say, Echad Miyedea. Then we go, one, two, then we go down. It's like a very childlike thing. One, two, three, and then you keep on going down. Three, two, one, four, two, one. What is it? What are we doing? We're playing games. We've come to the end of the Seder, and everyone's a bit tired. So you know what? Let's do who knows one. That's what we're down to, right? So a friend of mine from Gateshead, Baruch Haim Duna, he went into Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zichron Levracha, and there was someone there called Reb Shlomo Miller who introduced him. And he said, this person's name is Baruch Haim Duna. That's what he said. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky's response was, like Beis Shammai, Azovi Beis Shammai. Yeah? So everyone's scratching their head. They realize it's the end of the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. Yeah? The Beisil say, Proto Beis Shammai, say, Dinah Vishav Dinah. As soon as Reb Chaim heard the word Baruch Haim Duna, he said, but Azovi Beis Shammai. Right? That means, when you're Reb Chaim Kanievsky and you're holding a Torah, you're living a Torah, you say the word dinner, this is Beis Shammai. Right? Says to Reb Rom, this is where we're supposed to get to at the end of the Seder. The idea of the Seder is not the Zechira. It's not even the Beinei Necha of the Tefillin of the Yediya. It's the point is that as soon as you say Echad, we say the Rebbeinu Shleilam. As soon as you say two, that's all you hear. That's all you know. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's the avodah of the Seder. In fact, I was speaking to someone who mamash works on his emunah. He's a erlich yid. And he told me that he's got this watch now that measures his heartbeat. And he told me that he was going through a tremendously stressful time where he was waiting for a deal to come through, not to come through. And he said that day, his heartbeat was 20% higher than it usually is. It showed him 20% higher. He says, Benji, I don't understand. He says, I work on my Emunah. I know that the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Ketra. I know that it's been decided in Rosh Hashanah. And everything's going to happen. So what's happening? Why is this? So I asked if it's a Pasuk. But Yadata Yoim, that's the idea. V'hashivaysa mamash elavavecha. Now we have monitors that can mamash monitor elavavecha, whether it's gone to your heart. So hold your pshat in elavavecha. Is this something which your heart rate goes up? Or is it something which emotionally, the way that you feel, is that you're completely calm? We all know the ideas. The mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is to go through the experience. In fact, Reb Chatzkel says that on the question that we asked, what is the Havamina? We asked, what's the Havamina? Afilu kulonu chachamim. What do you mean? Of course. He asks a further question. He says, Reb Chatzkel said, we know that the whole thing of the Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kadesh Yishlo Atanoi, because the whole way the Seder is set up, with the man Ishtana. So you've got a chacham who's sitting there, someone who's been through it for years, someone who taka knows, yeah? What is the point of him sitting down and saying the Seder? Says Reb Chatzkel, because we all have a child within us. Reb Chatzkel says, we all have that child within us, that we have the adult, we have the yediya, but there's the child within us, that heartbeat that raises, that emotion that comes out, that when we're actually put towards the test, suddenly everything can go out the window, and we sit there completely lost. The avodas hayom is mamish to, even if a person is a chacham, even a person in your day, even a person sitting by himself without any children, to tell it to his inner child, to tell it to his inner self, to go through it, and to live it, and to experience it, of the v'hashivoy salavecha. That is the mitzvah hayom. The mitzvah hayom is that we can actually start experiencing that emunah, to be ne'eman, as the Chazanish says, to live up to that which we know. Not to just know it, because everyone knows it. In fact, when a Mashulach comes in the door, it's the easiest thing to go and tell him, give him a shmuz on a munah, and that it's all going to be okay, right? The harder thing is that when we're the Nitzrach, that's where it is that we need to decide and realize. And in fact, the Rambam, when he says, he says, the mitzvah is not in esoterical things. It's not, literally, the Rambam saying that the mitzvah is to go over and say the serious Rambam, b'mashi'iru b'mashahoyu. Because the true Yudia is to actually know it. In fact, a Talmud of Revolver told me that Revolver once went to visit Reb Chatzkel, and he asked him, he was going back to the Bochurim, and he said, what should I tell them? He says, Gei Zogenze, as is Dari Rebbeinu Shleilam.
So he thought he'd misheard, because he's going back to his bachelor. He said, what do you mean? So he said, no, Gei Zogun says his Dara Rabbeinu Shleilam. And Volba explained to the Bokharim that we know there's a Rabbeinu Shleilam, but do we feel it? Do we eat it? Do we live it? That is what the message was. Says Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, Atos Sira, you've just gone through your first encounter with Paroi. Everything has backfired. You've asked for the Yidden to go, and not only are they not going, now they're building their own bricks, and Paroi's in complete denial. So Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch says it's the most amazing thing. He says, Atos Sira, it's at that moment when Moshe Rabbeinu feels completely out of control. He feels like he's completely messed up. He feels like he's completely useless. Atos Sira, now this is when you're going to see. Because for as long as we feel like we're in control, for as long as we know there's Rabbeinu Shleilam, but he shouldn't just get too involved. Rabbeinu Shleilam, thank you for helping us get the Yidden Avitz Rhyme. Now I'm going to go to Paro and do my bit. For as long as you feel that, there's no Geula. Atos Sira is now, says Rabbeinu Shleilam, now that you see and it's backfired, now that you see that you're completely out of control, there's nothing you can do. And this is before the Rabbeinu Shleilam has hardened Paro's heart. Right? But if the reality is, if the Brenisha doesn't want something to happen, it's not going to happen. That's where the mitzvah of Sipius Mitzrayim starts off. That is where the Geula can begin. What does it mean, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? So there are two ways that we can have a relationship with the Brenisha. The Gemara in Sukkah and other places compares, when it comes to a goy, even if it comes to a goy, even if a goy does do teshuvah, a goy is compared to the sun. A sun is constant. An Italian will always be an Italian. A Russian will be a Russian. The Ukrainians will always be Ukrainians. When it comes to HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, when it comes to a Yid, we're compared to the moon. If you want to understand, how can it be the Yidna or Memtes Shari Tuma? They're literally at the lowest of the low, and suddenly 3 weeks later, they're at the highest level of Eos Alayam. How can it be like that? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem means that we have to understand we have none of our own inner light. Just like the moon has none of its own inner light, we have none of our inner light. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus that is all the difference. On the one hand, it means that we can go to the lowest of the low. And if you look in the world today, the biggest scandals, all the oligarchs, we seem to be everywhere. Right? Because when we fall, we have no inner light. When we turn away from the source of our light, which is the Rabbeinu Shleilam, that sun, which we reflect that light, then we can fall to the lowest of the low. But he says the most beautiful thing. He says that this is a story I heard from Alex Clare. He said, it's a singer, and he said, you know, he's been on a journey of teshuvah, and he was on tour. Something happened, he slipped up. He said this in front of everyone, so I'm not sure. He shared this with me. And he said, it slipped up, and he went back a step. So he was subrocha, and he was on the thing. So he went to his Rav, and he said, his Rav said to him, Rav Tugentav here in Hendel, he said, so get back on the train and get back on. But what are you doing? So you slip, so you get back up. That's what the Yitzhar tries to do, is make it into a whole thing. Fine, you went one step back, get back on the train. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem means that it's only 15 days from being at the complete darkness of Rosh Chodesh all the way through to being at the top. And Rav Shimshon says something even further. He says that when it comes to switching, it just takes one small netiyah. And what is the biggest mistake people make? We get to Pesach, we get to the highlight, to the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, to the strongest part of the month. And what do? People rest on their laurels. And what do we start doing? Literally, as we reach that peak, we start counting the Omer. Because the biggest mistake you can make is to get to shining that light, to get to your pinnacle, but then not. Then that's where we start the next steps going further. So we started off by asking, what is it Lachem? Why is this so much the cornerstone? What is it that you've understood about Rosh Chodesh? I think this is the Yesod. What does it mean? What is the mitzvah, the difference between the Zechira and the Havana and the Yediya and the Lev? Is because we can know everything, but the mitzvah Hayom is like we say, afilu kolonu chachomim, it's to be able to feel it, that when we take our heart rate through the year, that we feel the Geula, we feel the Emuna, we're ne'emon, as the Chazanish says. And when does that begin? That begins in the Atos Sira. If you ever look, if you see people with if you go on the street sometimes, see these children with drones. What is the fascination? You see everyone stops, they're kind of, it's a big deal. It's like a remote control car. What is the fascination when something flies? That we see is there's this element of, in someone's hands, they're in control, right? It's that feeling you're watching someone who's taking something and it's flying, it's in control. What it means, HaChodesh Shelochem, is to hand those controls back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And through that, we'll be Zoicha to the Atasira, to the Yeshua Hashem Keref Ayin, and to the Geula Asid of Mehir V'Yameinu Amen.